Warning, the following podcast contains explicit language which may be offensive to some viewers and or inappropriate for children. The content within this podcast is intended for mature audiences only.
Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
All right, here we go. Episode 104. Night Living Dreads podcast. I'm going to speak Dreads. Of course, we have Don Black Unright. We have Tom Nally. We have Jackal Monkey here. And we have Mrs. Dreads here, who likes to make an appearance like, I don't know, just, I mean, just like pop in. You do the whole Kramer pop in thing, don't you?
Sometimes.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Let's give some shout-outs right quick. Of course, Night of the Living Dreads, Dreads with no A, .com. .com is where you can take and find all of these podcasts. And then please check us out over there, Night Living Dreads, the Facebook page. The Facebook group. You can listen on Spotify. You can listen on Stitcher. Of course, we do a live. All of the usual suspects. We are missing Mr. Dom Two Books. He had another obligation to take care of, but we'll deal. I think we'll be able to manage. And what would you guys?
Still not on there.
He's still not.
Yeah.
So Yeah, but we also, you know, we do a live over there at Scurry Face, over there, that Facebook page, and at 6 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, and of course, Psycho Bunny Death Call, Psychomanium 13, at 8 p.m. Eastern on fucking Saturday. So, like, follow all of these pages, as well as Tom, one of your, well, your part in a creation of BB3 TV. They are also over there on Facebook. If you like and follow all of them, you'll catch all of those shows I just mentioned, as well as some that you're going to mention, Tom.
So, yeah, so it's facebook.com/BB3TV. You go there. It's a variety network. Right now, we don't have many people that have broadcasted, but there are going to be many, many, many more starting very soon. So make sure you go over and like that page so you don't miss out on that. Make sure you also go and like, if you have not done so already, Psycho Bunny Death Cult, Psycho Bunny DC, Psychomantium 13, Roots Bleed Red, PBDC TV, all on Facebook, most on YouTube. There you can catch, excuse me, you can catch me and Dom. Yeah, I had a little frog in my throat.
Hey, I didn't want to be in there.
Hey, Kermit.
You can catch me and Dom Fridays, 8:30 Eastern time, where we do our interview show. And you can also catch me on those same channels Saturday at 11 p.m. Eastern time with my personal show where I show my YouTube videos, which can be found at youtube.com/thisistomsworld, all one word, no spaces, no punctuation.
Bam.
Some of that. My shit just keeps getting longer all the time.
It
man.
Does. It does. Wow. It does.
And, that's what she said, man.
Hey, how long is your shit, Jackal Monkey? Where? How long is your shit?
God damn, ain't that long.
Oh, all right. Wait, you know what? You're our resident mask maker in the Insane Asylum, aka Night Living Dreads, the Facebook group, and of course the podcast and all the shows aforementioned. Why don't you tell us where we can get a mask?
Yeah, you can hit me up on Facebook, Nightmare Ninja Studios. I do custom latex work, custom hockey masks. Do custom Hannibal masks. I mean, all different kinds of stuff. So just hit me up and we'll make your nightmares a reality. Bam. And I also have my own show on Psycho Bunny TV and Psychomanium 13. Also, it's every other Thursday. The second episode actually appears. Second episode is this Thursday at 6 Central, 7 Eastern. It's the Battle Haven. And so if you guys are into tabletop games, D&D, Warhammer, that kind of stuff, check me out, man.
That's right. And you can you also should get to that Facebook page and like and follow that so you can get notifications as well on that.
Damn right.
Don and Don Black. Where you're close with Chiller, he puts you in the well quite a bit, but I know you may not want to, throw him out there because he does put your ass in the well with no chicken. With no chicken, mind you.
God, yeah.
Where can we find Chiller? Where can we find you? Well, we can find you pretty much. He's right there. Where can we find Chiller?
You can find Chiller on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Chiller the Clown. Chiller the Clown and Queen Oysters on Facebook, Chiller the Clown on TikTok.
Bam.
You can find me at NLD Podcast right here. Please share and like and follow BB3, Psychomanium 13, Psychobunny Death Cult, Roots Bleed Red, and all the fabulous pages that Mr. Tom down here mentioned earlier.
That's right. Fabulous.
Yes. And get you some Chiller juice in your mouth.
Where can we get Chiller juice?
I'll have to put the lotion on the skin and get the hose again.
Eileen?
It's D&J Vapor. It's D&J Vapor, Glasgow, Bowling Green, Kentucky. Locations.
Awesome.
And the phone number is 270-786-1005.
Bam. Get some of that.
Get you some, put in your mouth.
Wow. I don't know if that's a good advertising thing. Tom, you used to be a marketing guy. Is that something you should really put out there? Like, hey, get this Chiller juice and put it in your mouth. I mean, it could kind of work, couldn't it?
It could.
Dude. Well, yeah, I mean, back in the day, whenever I used to work at Scarborough Fair, I used to walk around and sell like these toasted nuts, who wants to put my nuts in their mouth?
God damn, you want my nuts?
Right?
I've got the fairest nuts in the land. Who wants some?
God damn, you want my fucking nuts?
Right?
I should have teamed up with the nut company. You can't get my juice in your nuts in your mouth.
Good night.
God damn. There you go. Yeah. I mean, hey, it worked.
People thought it was funny.
Got people's attention like a motherfucker. Oh, people thought it was fucking hilarious.
Right. Wait. Was they sweet or salty?
I had both.
You got salty nuts?
Woo-hoo! Salty nuts, boy. Sweet nuts, coconut nuts.
I don't even know where to go. Good.
Yeah.
I got your big Brazilian nut.
Speaking of coconuts.
I can't even do that with this week's Fluffer article. I can't even do it.
There's nothing to go into without.
No, that wasn't, Jackal Monkey Salty Nuts was not a good segue into...
They're sweet and salty.
Well, there's something apparently not salty and not sweet, but quite shocking with this story. Coming out of Wisconsin, it's not even Florida. Now, it was Mother's Day at the time of this recording. It was Mother's Day just a couple days ago. And a man, 22 years old, tased a parent on her special day.
God damn.
Yes. The most shocking Mother's Day gift this year.
Happy Mother's Day, bitch!
Well, it was Grace Light!
The most shocking Mother's Day gift this year was the handiwork of a Wisconsin man during a disturbance yesterday. Of course, it was, not yesterday at the time of the recording. A 43-year-old woman was tased in the neck by her son, who was upset because, quote, he could not find his phone.
Oh?
I can't find my note. Click, 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 click. Tased
his... Give me my phone,
God damn.
teased his fucking mom.
I'm gonna shock the fucking shit out of you.
Police subsequently located Peterson. Andrew Peterson is the son, and who reportedly, quote, admitted to using an electronic weapon on his mother on Mother's Day.
Oh, that's extra charges right there.
So, yeah.
His girlfriend
shocked a bitch in the neck.
Well, his girlfriend was also arrested for allegedly punching Peterson's mother in the face during the confrontation.
God damn! Holy Peter shit!
Punched her Where's in the his face? Fucking phone? Pop, pop!
Hell yeah! Zzz, Where's zzz. The phone, bitch?
Right.
Finish.
God damn!
pew pew.
Pew, pew.
I said taser, not laser.
I know, right? This ain't Star Wars.
It's not?
Oh, shit.
I mean, it's not Star Wars?
No, I don't think so.
All right, guys, you stop. Oh, shit. You have to go home now. This isn't Star Wars. I'm sorry, you have to go now.
Shut down.
Pew, pew.
You better watch out. George Lucas will sue your ass.
I know, right? Hey, well, bad publicity is good publicity, I guess. Parker was charged with battery and disorderly conduct.
God,
Peterson, Parker, was his girlfriend who punched his mom. Peterson was charged with battery, disorderly conduct, possession of an electronic weapon, and bail jumping in connection with a separate domestic battery case pending in Iowa County, Wisconsin. Peterson's rap sheet includes
Peterson.
Peterson also has convictions: DUI, possession of drug paraphernalia, trespassing.
So, how old did you say he was again?
He's 22.
Holy shit!
Wow.
Yeah, he's a busy young bastard. Man. Bastard.
Need to teach you some priorities, son of a bitch.
Right. Anybody want to add to that? All right.
God damn.
Timing, man.
Now, before we get into this one, because we do have a couple minutes before the halfway point, I know the whole mask issue, and we don't get political on this, you know, show, but this actual next article, it was funny to me, but it does involve the whole mask issue. Wearing a mask, you know, a lot of people don't wear
warning.
Warning, trigger warning.
God damn.
Warning.
What is your guys' opinions on it? Let's start with Don. What's your opinion on the mask thing, man?
My opinion on the mask thing? You want my opinion?
Sure.
I think it's stupid.
Okay.
Very stupid. And I think everybody should rethink things because the flu, to me, all it is the flu.
All right, do you like the mask or don't you? We don't need to get into COVID, goddammit.
I hate the mask.
All right.
Hate the motherfuckers.
There you go. Tom, hate it, love it. What's your opinion on it?
I do it because I have to. I don't know where I fall on the fence of if they're needed or not at this point. I don't like them anymore. Yeah. I didn't like them from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because inevitably, it's going to happen. Every time you go out, one place that you go to, you're going to get out of your car, walk all the way up to the front door of it, and then realize, I hate that.
Yeah.
Walking all the way back because then everybody's looking at you like, yep, we know what you did because we all do it.
Exactly. Mrs. Dredds, what's your thoughts on the whole fucking mask thing? Now, you have to wear one because you work in food service and whatnot, but I mean, in general.
I mean, I don't like them, but
nobody does. All right, wait to get
having something over my face.
Yeah, I don't like that shit unless it's a lot. Never mind. Jackal Monkey,
I'd like to wear you like a mask.
Jackal Monkey, what's your opinions on wearing a mask?
Well, I'm used to wearing a fucking mask all the time anyway. So
you work
I mean,
in food
it,
as
you know
well,
what I mean?
So it doesn't bother you.
Well, no, I was wearing masks. Well, I mean, people looked at you kind of weird for wearing a fucking mask like I'll make, you know, for going out like that in public. But
Nightmare
I mean, it's still kind of do now. But yeah, I mean, hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, fuck yeah. I mean, I love it. I love it.
I couldn't help it. I just heard that one little part play like three times in a row in my head, like, duh.
I mean, yeah, I love it, man, because I get away with wearing a fucking freaky-ass mask out in public, and people don't look at me like I'm fucking... Well, yeah, people still do look at me like I'm fucking crazy, but I don't give a fuck.
Well, there's a teacher. This one actually is from Florida. Okay, I lied a little bit. A Florida teacher, she was busted.
Oh, shit.
She was busted for spraying students with disinfectant. and four teenagers. She sprayed four teenagers with disinfectant because they were not wearing their mask properly.
It's the Lysol for you.
Right.
Put the mask on or it gets the Lysol. Right.
I'd spray me so hard. In a pair of recent circuit court notices, prosecutors reported that four felony child abuse charges filed against Christina Rezitar, 51, were being dropped since facts and circumstances revealed do not warrant prosecution. So apparently she was allowed to spray kids with a disinfectant. An aerosol disinfectant. Yes.
You dirty little motherfuckers.
Right. Unbelievable. In the face and body. Right in the face.
Let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
If that was my kids being sprayed, she would wear Lysol. She would dispense Lysol out her mouth because I'd shove it up her ass.
Now here's the thing. It wasn't like they came to her. According to arrest affidavit, she reportedly told police that, quote, the kids were not wearing their masks properly. A school surveillance camera recorded her intentionally approaching the students to spray them. She was like looking for flies and bugs in the hall. You know what I mean? Running out. Oh, your mask is below your nose. And get that.
See, she's lucky that like those kids weren't like I was at that age. Because if that were like if I was 14 and so a teacher did that shit to me, they would have been laid the fuck out.
Right.
Like no joke. To me at 14, I straight didn't give a fuck.
Oh yeah. That'd have been fucked up. I'd have been smacking that shit out their hand. I mean, yeah.
I would have beat the shit out of that teacher.
But
today's world and everything works different anymore, and people think differently. So,
right.
That would be offensive. That's true.
Luckily, the teens were not injured.
Fuck that.
You know, it was you know the spray was used to disinfect surfaces. They weren't injured.
She's one of the kids back in the day that took the Tide Pod challenge.
Hell yeah, goddamn.
She started that shit. She must have. She's like, you know.
I didn't even happen to me.
She puts that shit in her cheek like Chaw now.
Like Chew. Like, ding, ding.
Oh, shit's better than Red Man.
Goddamn.
The judge referred to the spraying as a severely misguided attempt at discipline.
Still, I mean, come on.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This wasn't a matter of somebody knowing somebody or whatever.
She was freed without bond and ordered to have no contact with the four students and to stay away from Largo High School.
She had a secret meeting with the judge back in his chambers.
Yeah.
God damn.
Right.
God damn.
The judge was like, I was a bad student. And she's like, oh, really?
Let me get my lasso can. Pull out that
rule stick. We got pull it, out dude. That rule stick. I got the lasso can here. Psh,
good Lord. All right.
I love you.
God damn.
Right.
I love you.
With that being said, we're going to take a little break. We're going to give a little shout out to a couple of our family going on here. Psycho Bunny Death Cult, Psychomanium 13. We'll be back right after this.
This is Mr. Applebite speaking. There is nothing wrong with your device. Join me here on Psycho Bunny DC. A delightfully dreadful consternation of horror content. Your head and free your mind.
Coming to you live from Psychomantium 13. Join us here throughout the week for all things in audio, visual, and literary content. You can also find us on the World Wide Web at psychomantium13.com. Join Psychomantium 13 and enter the weird.
All right, there you have it. Psychomanium 13, Psycho Bunny Death Cult.
I made it.
You made it. You made it just in time.
I went and refilled myself, and I'm good.
Man, good job, sir.
Ready?
Good job. Woo! All right. We are going to talk a little bit about Israel Keys. I'm going to let me bring this up. Israel Keys, for those who don't know, he was born in 1978, January 7th, committed suicide December 2nd, 2012. And this guy was an overachiever, if you ask me. He is considered a serial killer, a rapist, an arsonist, a burglar, and a bank robber. He admitted to violent crimes as early as 1996 with the violent sexual assault of a teenage girl in Oregon in a spree that lasted until his capture in 2012. And as I mentioned, he killed himself in 2012 while awaiting trial for his last victim, that being Samantha Koenig. Now, this was, Tom, you had mentioned to me, you were like, you sent a voice message in our little podcast chat, and you were like, look, man, I've been looking into this guy a whole 20 minutes, and this is a sick motherfucker.
Yep.
That, I mean, seems to be all of our first impressions of this guy.
And they hadn't even gotten deep into the story yet at that point.
I haven't. Yeah. No. Tell me about what you want to get into with Keys, because it seems like he would have a lot of crimes going on, and there's a lot that he could be tied to. I believe I've heard three, and then I've heard four that he admitted to. There's three that we're actually going to talk about, and one that he could be involved with. But what surprised you the most and shocked you the most about this guy versus any other serial killer, Tom?
Well, first off, the change that took place from the first two times they had him in there. The first time it was to be questioning, but that they just informed him of every bit of evidence that they had. They showed him all the tapes and everything, and he was just silent, didn't say a damn thing. And then the lawyer said, all right, thank you, we'll get back to you. And then they got a call, I think they said later that day. I think it was the same day, I'm not sure. But, like, they said that, all right, he's ready to tell you guys everything. And then they got him in there, and they had to give him his little demands, his coffee, his cigar, his peanut butter Snickers or whatever And just a change in his demeanor from those two times, because the second time he came in and he's like the jokester, you know, he's they're all just like hanging out.
Yeah,
it's not like an interrogation. They're all just hanging out, drinking coffee, like, so, yeah, hey, what are you know what I mean? And he's just so blasé and laughing at things. And
he was, you know, Jackal Monkey. You know, what was your kind of, you know, first impressions of this case? Had you heard about him before? And, you know, I mean, what did you think when you started looking into him, man?
Yeah, I'd heard about him before, and I'd heard, you know, that he was most known for having those murder kits that he would have hidden all throughout the fucking U.S., apparently.
Mm, yeah.
He would have, like, buckets of stuff, like, you know, like, rape kits or kill kits, like duct tape and rope and,
disinfectant, you know,
a gun.
like the chick in Florida. So, what?
What?
You cut out there, Jaguar Monkey. Is there anybody out there?
Hello? Is this thing on?
Is this thing all right? Oh, what? Are you back, sir?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah, that's what fucking I thought was crazy. It was sort of like organized fucking chaos.
It really was. It was like, it was very, very fucking organized.
He didn't have, like, his victims would be fucking random, but he chose where he would do it at. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, it's really fucking weird, man.
It is, and we're gonna get into all the weirdness after we hear what Mr. Don Black has to say about his first impression. What was your kind of first impressions? Had you heard of him before? And what'd you think about him as a serial killer? Because that's one of the first things I want to dive into, is the difference between him and other serial killers. So you can understand, you know, just the oddness of this whole case. What's your thoughts, Don?
Well, I haven't heard of him before, but the old dude, he was pretty, they said he was really quiet. You know, had a military background.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very strategic about everything he'd done, planned out. Maniacal, just a cold-hearted killer, man.
He was.
And it was just, he traveled around the United States with the only purpose he had was to kill.
Yeah.
That's it. No profiling, no nothing.
Maniacal?
Maniacal.
Maniacal. It sounded like maniacal.
Maniacal. Maniacal.
Phenomenon.
As Don mentioned, I guess we'll start there. As Don mentioned, he did serve in the Army from 98 to 2001 at Fort Lewis and Fort Hood and in Egypt. While he was in Fort Lewis, he was on the mortar team. In the 1st Battalion, 5th Infantry, 25th Infantry Division. Former Army Friends of Keys noted he had a very quiet demeanor, as you mentioned, Don, and a habit of keeping to himself. But on the weekends, he reportedly liked to throw the old drink down his throat. Sometimes, you know, they said he would drink, you know, whole bottles. I don't know. They didn't say how big of the bottles, but whole bottles of his favorite drink. That would be Wild Turkey. Now, he's a man after my own taste. I love me a good Wild Turkey bourbon. Yeah, here's one for you, Don. He was also a fan of the hip-hop duo Insane Clown Posse. We won't hold that against them.
Who's going chicken hunting?
We's going chicken hunting.
He's going chicken hunting. And then he started in 2007, after he got out of the military, started a construction business in Alaska called Keys Construction. How original. He worked as a handyman contractor as well as just a, you know, regular construction worker. Now, I want to get into, we're going to get into his victims. And as it was mentioned, he was very methodic. He was very meticulous in his plan. He planned, but he didn't plan.
Monocle.
He was monocle.
He liked to get into his victims. That was true.
Well, yeah, true.
That's why I was like described it as fucking organized chaos earlier. Like it was.
Yes.
It was like he had chaos. A plan, but he didn't have a plan.
No, right. No, exactly.
Wait, where's that?
Jesus Christ.
When actually he would literally, I mean, he would. And here's the thing that, you know, one of the things that separates him from other serial killers, actually from that area, some being a guy by the name of Yates, Gary Ridgway, Ted Bundy was also from the Seattle area. How he was different was, as you mentioned, Jackal Monkey, the kill kits or murder kits, as they were called. And what he would do is he would take 5-gallon buckets and he would put in there disinfectant. He would put in zip ties and gloves and a gun.
Drano.
Right, Drano, things like that. And he would bury them. And then possibly 2 years later is when he goes to that particular area with no person in mind. He mentioned he didn't even know these people. They didn't know him money. He's seen an easy opportunity, as with the couriers, Bill and Lorraine, to take and break into their house and murder them. And speaking of these kill kits, the kill kit that was in that area, he buried there 2 years prior. The same weapons and everything that he used to murder Bill and Lorraine Currier, he buried in that area in a 5-gallon bucket 2 years prior. So he didn't know who his victim was. Almost like Ramirez, the Night Stalker. He kind of went after everybody. It was old people, it was black people, it was white people. Yeah, I mean, middle-aged people, families. He just wanted to kill. And that was what was so dangerous about Keys as well. So real quick, we might as well just jump into, you know, what happened with Bill and Lorraine. And just, you know, a quick background on them. I think Lorraine, she worked in a, she was in the medical field. Both of them were very well respected. They were said to be very much like home people. They took a lot of pride in their, you know, their home, the surroundings, their property, things like that. And again, very well respected. Well, unfortunately, this couple, and they were, I think, anywhere from, they were in their early 50s, 49 to, you know, 50, mid 50s, right in that area. June 8th of 2011, Keys, who had spotted this house, he knew that they didn't have a security alarm. This was also in an area, and I did not write down, but it was in an area where people felt comfortable.
But he cut the phone line.
He did.
He cut the phone line, and he said, because if there was an alarm, it would have triggered the alarm, and he stood outside for like an hour or 2 hours.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I was just, yeah, you're absolutely right. I was just getting to that. Yeah, he,
oh,
you know,
sorry.
No, you're good. And that was one of the things. He was so meticulous about it. He knew they didn't have a dog. He knew there were no kids. He knew they were an older couple. And he did. He cut the phone lines for that reason, the alarm system. And, of course, so they, you know, couldn't call out. I think he breaks in through the garage, a garage door, which also had entrance into the actual house itself.
It was a window. There was a fan in the window, and he took the fan out and got in that way, but then still had to break through another door that had glass on it.
That's right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And he, ransacks. You know, they were actually sleeping. He knew when they were going to bed. He sat and apparently watched till their light went out, and he knew that they were, you know, kind of asleep. He gave them time to let them doze off. He comes in. Apparently, he has a one of those like miner's, you know, lights, a little headlight, literally, you know. And if you think about it, if somebody bum rushes into your bedroom and it's dark and they have one of those little headlamps on, you're not seeing their face because you have the light, you know, glaring in your eye. Now you have a gun in your face. It's all blurry because you can't see who it is. That's what they had to go through. Yeah, right. And he,
that'll disorient the shit out of you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's exactly what it did. It gave him time to take and bound both of them with these, you know, like zip tie type deals that he had. And he takes them for a little ride in their car to an apparent abandoned farmhouse. And apparently it was just run down, real dilapidated. And yeah, he takes them down to the basement. And in one, he has Lorraine in one room. She's tied to a bed. He proceeds, and her husband Bill is bound and in the other part of the basement. He starts to rape and sexually, you know, abuse Lorraine. And as that happens, of course, Bill is freaking out. You know, his wife's screaming. He's trying to get out. He ends up breaking free. Keys hears him, runs in, and at the end result, with Bill, ends up, you know, popping him in the head, shooting him, goes back, has a little more fun with Lorraine, brings her back into that very room, and strangles her. Then, what is the deal with the, you know, the Drano or the disinfectant or whatever? Because he does that with them. He douses them with that, puts, you know, plastic bags over them, and then covers them with debris in the basement and takes off. Does anybody know the significance with the whole?
He mentioned it. Yep. He said that he figured it would be multi-purpose. One, it would take care of any bodily fluids that may have exchanged on the outside anyway.
Any kind of DNA.
Right, and it would also help to speed up the decomposition, so that they break down quicker.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
And interesting. I don't know if that's true, but that's what he figured. So.
All right.
Maybe he studied on it.
Well, he probably did. He was highly intelligent when it came to that. One thing
he was a sick fuck.
He really was. And what do you guys who wants to jump in and talk about Bill and Lorraine before we get to Samantha?
I mean, it was just terrible, man, what he did to those two people.
It really was, yeah.
It was terrible. And like I said, how he just blitzed them, like, in the middle of the fucking night.
Yeah.
You know? And like you were saying, like, he hit them with a fucking light. Like, if you're already asleep and in the dark, somebody fucking nails you with a flashlight, especially, like, if it's a high-powered flashlight, it's going to fuck your vision all up.
No.
You ain't going to be able to see shit.
Absolutely. Nope. Absolutely.
It's just, it's terrible. Absolutely terrible, man.
Don, you want to throw anything in on Bill and Lorraine? Is he even there?
I don't know. It looks like his jeans we're looking at. I don't know.
All right. Mrs. Dredds, what do you think about that particular ambush here?
I agree with the fact that he's very clever. Very clever in how he does it. Because, like you said, he kind of ambushed them and blinded them with the light.
Blinded by...
I was waiting.
It was going through
That's
all
why of them. I didn't it was. Say anything else. But yeah,
revved up like a deuce.
A deuce?
Yes, that's right. It's revved up like a deuce.
A deuce, yeah.
Yes, it's not wrapped up like a douche.
That's
what it sounds like.
It's a better lyric.
Yep, it is. I thought it was until I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. So wait a minute. So it's not douche.
So I don't even like this song anymore.
It's a deuce.
I think it was about 2 days later or something, they were reported missing. They went and investigated the house of the couriers. They noticed that the car was gone And then when they went inside, they found medication that both Bill and Lorraine needed on a daily basis due to whatever medical ailments they had. It was something they needed. Those were left there. Driving glasses, glasses that were used by Lorraine to, you know, when she drove, she had different glasses, reading glasses, glasses that she, you know, those were there. One thing that was missing was the gun. There was a gun that was missing. Their car was missing. But things that obviously told investigators, they didn't just pick up and leave. For one, it wasn't in their character. And two, there was things left behind, found, that didn't really go along with the whole scenario that they just picked up and left and said, fuck everyone.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
So, Don, we got you back. We're not looking at your pants. Bill and Lorraine,
did you lock them?
That whole murder, before we get into Samantha Koning, what's your thoughts on that whole thing? I mean, he just ambushed them in the middle of the night. They had just dozed off, maybe asleep for a few minutes. Bam, come in with this headlight, and it's dark, and the light shining. What do you think about all that?
He brutally killed. Yeah, pretty much. He brutally killed Bill, right? Am I right?
He shot him.
Wasn't that a movie?
Right, Lorraine.
Yeah.
And then shot her. I mean,
no, strangled Lorraine.
Strangled her?
Yeah, he strangled Lorraine.
Well, I think it was. I mean, to me, that's pretty brutal.
That is pretty brutal. Especially, you know, early 50s. They're right around my age, man.
Dang.
That's horrible.
I'm not that old yet.
You'll get there. I want to back up a little bit because, you know, a lot of people say, well, that there's certain characteristics when it comes to a serial killer. One is animal abuse. There was an incident when he was 14 years old where there was friends or whatever of the family staying with the family. In some of the documentaries and reenactments that I've seen, they seem to be right around his age, if not maybe, you know, a little older, maybe, you know, mid to late teens, whatnot. And they were all out in the woods, and apparently they had taken... Now, was it the family's cat or these two individuals?
I think it was his.
It was his cat. Now, apparently the cat kept, I guess, getting into shit in the house, just being a cat, I guess. He takes his cat out in the woods, always, apparently, even at 14, always had a fucking gun on him. And takes his cat, puts the cat down, fires one slug into the cat's stomach. They said, and he described this out of his own mouth during interrogation. The cat got up, ran around in a circle, ran around a tree, and then hit the tree and fucking collapsed. That's heartbreaking. I don't even like cats, but that's...
Yeah, he had it tied up with a wire around its neck or something.
Yeah, and shot it in the gut. The cat gets up, and, you know, it's last... fucking, you know, moments. Apparently it was so bad that one of the people with him, right, started throwing up. And it said that was a really impactful moment because he realized that, you know, because, you know, he even said, I think I kind of even laughed a little bit, you know, while old dude's throwing up at just the grotesque and brutal, you know, nature of what just happened. And Keys is kind of like laughing. And, you know, so that's right. One of the characteristics, you know, that really is kind of the common thread with a lot of serial killers. One thing that is not common is the randomness, as we mentioned, the kill kits. The randomness is, you know,
locations were planned, people were random.
Were random, right, and that's the thing. It's like, oh, now all of a sudden I'm going to jump on a plane, and I'm going to go to this area where I have a kill kit, and in that particular area I'm going to find somebody, I'm going to kidnap them, I'm going to go get my kill, I'm going to get my kill kit, kidnap them. I mean, it was that random, but...
He did study the people, though, too, before. He didn't just go in, like, guns blazing kind of thing.
Right.
He would do his little diligence and check them out and,
Mm-hmm.
Try to figure shit out.
That's how we knew the couriers didn't have, you know, kids. They didn't have a dog. There wasn't going to be a lot of noise. He could really, you know, overtake them and overwhelm them pretty fucking easily. Jackal Monkey, before we get into Samantha, did you have anything? Anybody have anything they want to get into with the whole cat thing or whatever?
See, and yeah, I think that's whenever he realized too, just how fucked up he really was is whenever that instance occurred. And so he sees his old dude over there fucking throwing up, and he's like, "Oh, what? You don't like this? Huh? It's not your thing?" Like.
And but he also, you know, he also said that, you know, he also realized with that he had to keep that darker side of himself to himself because it repulsed people so much that he had to keep that a fucking secret, and you know, in a sense, and he fooled people all the time. I mean,
he said that's the last time anybody went in the woods with me.
He
actually said that in the interview.
Yeah,
he laughed.
Right. Yeah. And he laughed. Yeah, absolutely crazy. Like, man.
Shit, I bet.
Samantha Koning, which happened on February 1st, 2012. She worked at a little coffee stand in Anchorage, Alaska. Now, if you look at the actual stand and where it's at, it looks like it's damn near in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
it seems like a very
close.
Right, and it's not. It's literally a stand. Like, remember the old photo mats?
Yeah,
it literally looks like that. Yeah. Right, it literally looks like that. And, of course, there's a huge, you know, snowstorm, the weather's bad. And here comes a guy walking up with a ski mask, which is not uncommon, they say, when shit is 20 below zero or whatever in Anchorage. A lot of people are wearing ski masks, which I guess could be problematic. And it was here. He takes approach and Samantha's all like, yeah, cool, right, and just another customer, and decide, as he's, you know, the conversation, all of a sudden you can watch the actual security footage and you see her just kind of step back. She's alerted. She doesn't know what to do, and apparently he's telling her, turn the fucking lights off inside.
Backing up song came in my head.
Yeah, backing up, right, because her daddy didn't teach her well enough.
I guess not.
He didn't get his hot latte.
No, he was an Americano kind of guy, which is one of the coffees I think that he asked for during the
Every
interrogation.
Time.
Yeah, an Americano. But he apparently tells her, turn it off, turn all the lights off. You see all the lights go off, and he climbs through the fucking drive-through window. This is when she's obviously subdued, restrained, and taken out the back, and they get into a white pickup truck, and off they go.
And then he comes back in to pick her shit up.
Yeah.
After he gets her taken care of, he comes back in, gets her debit card, her cell phone, all that stuff.
Yep. She's tied up. He goes in, and this is... within very close proximity, all of this happening, what I'm getting ready to tell you, all this happening is in very close proximity of his 10-year-old daughter.
Yep.
He has her...
And his wife.
And his wife, right. He has Samantha tied up. He brings in a bottle of wine. Not for Samantha, of course. She gets water. He proceeds to drink the wine and start, you know, telling her basically this is all mind game and tells her pretty much exactly what he's going to do. That turns into a sexual abuse, and she ends up dying. He then takes, dismembers her, sticks her in a bag or in bunch of different bags, and then goes out to a lake to do quote-unquote ice fishing. Now, when you go ice fishing, apparently it's customary to take and kind of barricade yourself. That way people know not to start digging holes very close to where you are. So that's what he did. So nobody could see what he was doing. So he takes his chainsaw, or whatever, I'm assuming a chainsaw, cuts a hole in the ice, and starts dumping the remains of Samantha down this hole.
And then he fished and caught some fish to take home to his family for dinner.
Yes, the detective asks him, you know, did you catch anything? Yeah, I caught some fish, took them home. What'd you do with them? Took them home, cooked them up, and ate them. And who wants to, you know, go in any further with Samantha?
Well, it's important to note that after he killed her, he killed her.
I forgot about that.
And done all of that, went to New Orleans, took a trip out on cruise. A boat.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
A cruise out in the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
After the cruise, he went back to Alaska. He took the corpse of Samantha, put makeup on it, and sold her eyes open, and put a newspaper next to her, took a photo, tried to get, kidnap money?
Ransom money.
Yeah.
Apparently nobody wanted to pay it or was going to pay it, and then he hacked up the body.
Yeah.
Well, but then they did pay it they put some money towards it between the parents and the boyfriend, and they just waited for him to access... because he told him to put it in her account because he had her debit card.
Right.
So they just waited for him to start withdrawing, and they would try to pounce on him right away, but they were always just a few minutes behind him. And then he started going outside of Alaska, and he was going to like all different states along like the bottom half of the U.S. Mm-hmm. and like just going to random places and then hitting those ATMs
And they had records of all of that, and they couldn't understand how, wait a minute, you have a transaction here that happens on this day, and then a transaction that happens on this day, the very next day. How does one person get, you know, so many places? And he was flying everywhere. Where did he get the money to fly everywhere? Well, he's a multitasker. He robs banks.
Oh, wow.
He robbed a bank in New York, I believe it was. New York State, I think. I don't think it was like down in the city or anything. But, yeah, he'd go in there and rob a bank. They have surveillance of him. They knew they could nail his ass on that. And that's how he would bankroll his flying everywhere, because he only used cash. Now, the night, what was it just a, when he got pulled over and finally apprehended after Samantha, was it just a traffic violation that got him, just a simple traffic violation?
Yeah, he did something, I don't remember what it was. I don't remember what it was, but it was enough that, like, the cop already knew the make and model of the car, he knew what he was looking for, and then he pulled him over with some kind of traffic violation. Again, I don't remember what it was, but... When he asked him for his license, he hands him a license that says it's an Alaska license. He knew right away he had the guy.
Mm-hmm. Good, Jack-o-monkey. Do you want what, Jack-o-monkey? Is there anybody out there?
Goddamn.
Shit, he's getting fucking muted.
Okay, there you go. All right, go ahead. Talk about the night he was arrested, my friend.
God damn.
I think it was a stop sign that he ran or a red light.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's what ended up getting his ass. Yep, the cop like Tom said, he fucking spotted the car and then they were already looking for that make and model. They were looking for a white Ford Focus. So right whenever he fucking pulled him over, and then he saw that.
His phone done muted him again.
Are you muted again?
His phone hates him.
That sounds like.
God damn it.
Maybe, there we go.
Hi, goddamn.
Goddamn.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But that's what ended up fucking getting his ass him go rolling through Texas, and fucking they nailed him in that car. And then, once it, like Tom said, once he saw that license, and it was an Alaskan license. He fucking knew he had him.
Yeah, yeah, he did. And that's they ended up searching the car, and they found Samantha's I think cell phone. They found her ID, I believe, her license,
and her debit card,
her debit
ATM card.
Yeah, they were he was done at that point.
Clothes that looked just like Samantha. The clothes he wore when he was using the debit card.
Exactly, the mask, because he was seeing it. You know, the cameras of the ATM machines with a mask on. Those, I think that was found as well. Yeah, so he was pretty much fucking nailed at that point. The interrogations are actually pretty interesting because it really gives you an inside look of, you know, what goes through, you know, somebody's mind and how they work, because he played the shit out of these FBI investigators. And what I mean by play, he took and he made shit on his terms. He's like, oh, I have things you want to know. As we mentioned, I want a cigar. I want a fucking Snickers bar. I want an Americano. And they would pacify him with this because they needed information out of him. And he still went to his grave, as we mentioned in the beginning of the show, by suicide, with probably a lot more information that would have led to a lot of unsolved cases. And one real quick, what?
When you paused after unsolved, I was like, oh, he's gonna say it. He's gonna say it.
God damn.
But and one of them real quick, we're almost out of time, but one of them real quick was a man by the name of Gilbert Gilman. He went out apparently just to rain. I can't even.
What is going on? Why am I here?
Right. Yeah. God damn. Olympic State Park, of course, Seattle, Washington, and it's a very dense forest. A lot of people go hiking out there. There's trails and this and that. Well, he obviously was just there to go sightseeing. And because he was in flip flops, and you usually don't go hiking in the fucking woods with flip flops. And he was also of military background. He was a paratrooper. Gilbert was. I mean, he knew if you're going to go hiking, you know that the weather out there for one can change like that. You know,
it's frightful.
And
see what I did?
Yeah, I did. And he ended up missing on a Saturday. Coincidentally enough, Keys had ran a marathon, which they do have documentation of him running, just 3 hours outside of this area, away from this park. This was a very familiar area for Keys. Did you guys hear about that?
I did not. I didn't get to watch the entire documentary because
it's pretty good. Yeah,
I missed the last third. Like the last story, basically, and then hearing about him kill himself. I mean, I knew he was dead because I already looked all that up before I watched the video, but.
Right. What were you going to say, Don?
He's running the distance. He's going for speed.
Oh, my God.
He's all alone. I don't remember the next line.
I don't either.
I don't either.
One particular incident, he tried to pull a Bundy while he was literally in court, shackled, okay? He spent the whole time kind of just fucking with his ankle shackles and ends up working one of them loose, jumps over the table, and tries to make a break for it. He's soon tackled by, like, they say 3 to 5 people. He still even moves even further. He goes another 2, 4, 5 feet, whatever it was, and he's, you know, finally brought down, tased like 2 or 3 times. So, I mean,
touchdown,
right? So that was, you know, something that, you know, I thought was, you know, kind of odd. Yes, it has been done by, you know, other serial killers. All right, final thoughts on fucking Israel Keys, Tom.
Well, he was definitely one strange, messed up person. And he held a lot of that in, apparently, like, until until they started interrogating him and giving him what he wanted and everything. And I mean, he even, one of the things he requested was execution date.
Yes.
That was one of his demands. That's a good and they point, said, yeah. Well, you know, we could get that to you as long as you continue to give us stuff, because while Alaska does not have a, what's it called?
Death penalty or capital.
Yeah, death penalty. There you go. While they don't have that, they can federally do a death penalty in some cases. And they said, so the more you tell us, the better the chances we can get that from you. So that he was going on that, but he apparently didn't go all the way, because you know damn right well there are probably dozens more, or at least a dozen more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that for sure.
Nobody knows about.
Yeah. Absolutely. For absolutely. Sure. Don, why don't you give us your final thoughts on Israel Keyes?
Well, come to find out, when he cut his wrist and everything like that, they found a drawing, and it was a pentagram with 11 skulls. Now, they think maybe that was how many people he actually killed.
Right.
Is what I understand. Mm-hmm. And
or he knew they would find it, and they're just throwing them off by giving a low number.
Because he kind of played with them that way as well. But that's a good point. Truly, I did read that.
Well, to be honest and you know, about it and everything, I don't think they'll ever find out how many people he actually killed or anything like that. And he was just, he was cool, calm, and collected through the whole thing. I mean,
he knew how to play the system because he was a part of the system in the military. He kind of trained himself that way. Mrs. Dredge, I don't think a lot of chances to take a look much into the case, but from what you've heard, what's your thoughts on this?
Now, wasn't there a chick that talked him out of killing her?
Yeah, the first one that he sexually assaulted, that was like he intended to kill, but he did not because he said he was scared.
He said that he like contemplated over the next 2 weeks that he should have killed her.
That he should have, yeah.
He beat himself up about it.
Yeah, he said he regretted like over like the next like 2 years of not killing her. It's like, goddamn,
poor guy, you know,
all this sleep he must have lost.
It's not even like a funny goddamn. It's a goddamn.
It's like a goddamn.
He was OCD.
he was something. And you know, I'm going to just go along with everybody else because, you know, I mean this was a very different serial killer, in my opinion. He did a lot of things that are not what you would call typical of a serial killer, one being the kill kits and things like that. Check him out. If you're into, you know, serial killers and you don't know anything about Israel Keyes, I had fun, actually. is that wrong? I had fun looking into this guy.
Well, I mean, he's fucking different. He was so...
Because it's time to go.
He's a different beast. I mean, he was completely different than a lot of other serial killers. So.
He was.
It was interesting.
Yeah. Jaguar Monkey, while we got you, tell us, tell everyone where they can get a mask and make their nightmares become a reality.
Yeah, hit me up on Nightmare Ninja Studios on Facebook, and we'll make your nightmares become a reality. And this Thursday...
Yeah.
Finish it
this
for
Thursday
at this Thursday 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Psycho Bunny Death Call. You can catch Jacko Monkey doing his show every other Thursday called The Battle Haven. Go check out Battle Haven on Facebook. Like and follow. Get all of the notifications. I got you covered, Jacko Monkey. Don't worry about it.
Hell yeah, thank you, bro. My phone fucking hates me.
It does. It really does. And of course, Don, where can we find yourself and Chiller?
On Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. Get you some DNJ Vapor Juice, 270-786-1005 to place your order. And I'm with NLD. and all the other
ones. And I'm sure Tom's going to tell us all the other ones.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, all the other ones, and I'll say them now. Psycho Bunny Death Cult, Psycho Bunny DC, Psychomantium 13, Roots Bleed Red. What? What the hell? You're interrupting my spiel. What's going on here? Psycho Bunny Death Cult, Psycho Bunny DC, Psychomantium 13, Roots Bleed Red, PBDC TV. I think I missed one, but I don't know. And BB3 TV and Dom and Tom's World Friday, 8:30 Eastern Time on all those, as well as Tom's World Live Saturday, 11 p.m. on all those, youtube.com/thisistomsworld. And Scurry Face, too.
That's but, right.
But I figured he was going to say that.
So I am going to say that. NightLivingDreads.com. Dreads with no A. NightLivingDreads over there at Scurry Face, Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Every Saturday, and of course, every Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, Psycho Bunny, Death Cult, Psychomanium 13. And then, of course, our audio podcast here. I want to thank everybody for being a part. Thank you, Mrs. Dreads, Tom, Don, Jaggle Monkey, Mrs. Jackal Ooh, Monkey always. For the unintended airtime. Hey, well, we'll see you guys next week.